Good morning, everyone. Welcome along this morning. I'm just looking through some various books here in the study, In Pursuit of God, The Life of A.W. Tozer. I'm going to use a prayer from that in a little while. We're going to have a look at Psalm 16 this morning. Psalm 16, some really beautiful words to focus our hearts and our minds this morning. So Psalm 16, but I'm gonna pray just before we open that together. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through your word by your Spirit. Thank you for giving us the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather in this way to encourage one another in the faith. Father, as we approach your words, we pray you would give us an appropriate reverence, and we pray that you would till the soil of our heart, that your word might bear fruit. And we pray on, Father, for the needs of our nation and our world right now. Lord Jesus, in your wrath, remember mercy. And please, Father, give us wisdom to number our days aright. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to look at Psalm 16, another psalm of David. Some incredibly useful themes for us to be thinking about at the moment, and encouraging, heartwarming words. So let's read that together. Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. David, writing in such a rich way as he does through the Psalter, and informing us of how we can approach the Lord. And he prays, as many people are praying right now, for safety. He says, keep me safe, O God, verse 1, for in you I take refuge. He knows that the place of safety is the place of refuge, which is in the Lord himself. And as always, he affirms his faith as he approaches the Lord, however his mood may be, and he affirms his conviction. And he says in verse 2, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. He knows that the ultimate point of refuge and goodness is in the Lord himself. And he states that conviction to the Lord. He's stating it and instructing his own heart as well as he does so. And he's not saying, of course, that, you know, the things that I have in my life are all bad. Rather, what he is saying that in that ultimate sense, without the Lord, everything else is completely meaningless. And without the Lord, everything else is useless. And that is a wonderful affirmation of the conviction he has. And he goes on in verse 3 just to talk about other believers in the land, and he celebrates them. They bring him delight. And we're attempting to bring each other delight in these short times together and virtually at the moment. And he goes on to talk about how those who run after other gods in verse 5 have sorrow that increases. He says, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods, verse 4. I won't sacrifice to them. I won't take their names on my lips. So he understands that the Lord is the place of refuge and that everything else is false. All other gods are false. All of the things that we or others may lean into only make things worse. And that their sorrows increase. And that is the nature of false gods. They ask a lot of you, but they do not give in return. And at the moment, we as Christians, we as the church, are mindful of the fact that, yes, perhaps in many ways, we as individuals, we in the church, need to repent of false things that we've been finding security in and chasing after. We're also mindful of looking around at the world and seeing that many of the things that perhaps people were investing in, were worshipping, have been taken away, and therefore their sorrow is increasing. And while we hold out the hope of the gospel, we want to be mindful and generous and pray for those who truly have experienced deep loss. And as we do so, to point people towards the true point of refuge and the only God who, when we pursue him, brings joy. And David, in verse 5, is appreciative of everything the Lord has given him. Boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, he says. I have a delightful inheritance. So he is glad and grateful for the way in which the Lord is alongside him and has provided him with the life that he has. And but that, of course, is something which ultimately that delight is in the Lord himself, as he's already expressed earlier in the psalm. And he seeks to find the daily counsel of the Lord. In verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And this is an interesting thing, as we've noticed even in our short time together so far in the Psalms. Nighttime comes up a lot. What you do when you're lying on bed, what you do when you maybe wake up through the watches of the night. And it's intriguing that this is such a common theme, and it shows that David really wants to have the Lord inform everything in his life, day and night. And even at night, his heart instructs him. And he sets the Lord's way before him. And he says, because the Lord is at his right hand, he won't be shaken. So implicit in that is the reality that there are things in his environment which have the potential to shake him and to unseat his confidence in the Lord. But he says, because the Lord is there at his right hand, he'll not be shaken. And so this theme comes up time and again in the Psalms, in that the unshakable nature of God's character ensures that we can find a foundation point even in the storm. And David knows that because God is with him, he'll not be shaken. And because of that, verse 9, therefore, because the Lord is at his right hand, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. And he says, interestingly then, my body will also rest secure. These words become quite fascinating. He says in verse 10, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Now, of course, David is speaking beyond his own experience at this point. And it's not as if he suddenly thinks at this point, oh, I'm going to live forever. He doesn't seem to think that he himself's not going to die. But he is, with all of the reality he understands of God, applying something of a bigger principle yet to be revealed in fullness, that there will be a way in which the grave will be overcome and that decay will not have the final say. Now, he, of course, died, and the apostles pick up on this theme themselves in Acts 2, where they quote these words as they explain the fulfillment of this theme that King David was pointing to in the crucified and risen King Jesus. And they apply this prophetic vision of David to the fulfillment in King Jesus. And they explain to their hearers there that, of course, David died, and you can go and you can see his grave. But Jesus rose again. In Acts, they cite this psalm. They apply it very immediately to the person of Jesus and the experience of the gospel that they are beginning to understand and to relate to the world. And so here in this psalm of David, we have the ultimate point of hope being alluded to in terms that were even beyond David at the time. And he goes on in verse 11 to say, you have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So David again fills his heart with joy because of what? Because of the Lord's presence. And he again seems to be hinting towards something beyond life as he knows it, to an eternal pleasure. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Again, a reference to the right hand, a way of strength and proximity being described with the Lord. So, as we find ourselves daily at the moment agog with the news, just feeling completely unsure of ourselves and rattled, words like these are good to pray for safety, to pray for refuge, but to acknowledge that the Lord is our ultimate good thing, and that whatever may happen to our bodies, whether we become sick through this pandemic, or whether we die through this, or whether we become sick later, and when we ultimately face death, that we can say in confidence, and this is where we can be pointing out the hope of the gospel to those around us, we have a hope that will not see us abandoned to the grave. It will not see us ultimately succumb to decay. It will not see us without life. It will not see us without joy. It will not see us without eternal pleasure. Because the Bible is not about pie in the sky when you die, sitting on a cloud, strumming a harp. It's about a physical new reality, one of pleasure, joy, one alongside the right hand of God, where we will never be shaken. And that is a hope that we can grasp onto in these uncertain days. And in truth, all of our days have been and are uncertain. It's just we're more aware of it now. And may the Lord use that to deepen our dependence upon him, because we are truly dependent. So I want to read you a prayer from this book. It's about a man called A.W. Tozer, an incredible preacher, author, and profound man of prayer. So I'm going to use a prayer from a book of his, The Pursuit of God. So let's pray together. Lord, I would trust you completely. I would be altogether yours. I would exalt you above all. I desire that I may feel no sense of possessing anything outside of you. I want constantly to be aware of your overshadowing presence and to hear your speaking voice. I long to live in restful sincerity of heart. I want to live so fully in the Spirit that all my thoughts may be a sweet incense ascending to you, and every act of my life may be an act of worship. Therefore I pray in the words of your great servant of old. I beseech you so far to cleanse the intent of my heart with the unspeakable gift of your grace, that I may perfectly love you and worthily praise you. And all this I confidently believe you will grant me through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. 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 Well, bye for now, and every blessing in the Lord Jesus to you.